भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're just about to finish the chapter called Prahlad Pacifies the Lord with Prayers. And we're on text 54. Okay. Prinanti hyartamam dhira sarvabhavena sadhava shayas kama mahabhaga Sarva sammasi sampatim Prinanti hyartamam dhira Sarva bhavena sadavaha Shreyas kama mahabhaga Sarva sammasi sampatim Please chant. Sarvabhavena sadhava Shreyaskama mahabhaga Sarvasama sisthapatim Ladies? Prinanti artamam dhiram Sarvabhavena sadhava Shreyas kama mahabhaga Sarva sammasi sampatim Priyanti antiram dhira Sarva bhavena sarava Shreyas kama mahabhaga Sarva Prinanti, try to please. He, indeed, artha, because of this, mam, me, dhira, those who are sober and most intelligent. Sarva bhavena, in all respects, in different modes of devotional service. Sadhava, persons who are very well behaved, perfect in all respects. Shreyas kama, desiring the best benefit in life. Mahabhaga, O you who are so fortunate. Sarvasam, of all. Asisam, kinds of benedictions. Patim, the master, me. My dear Prahlad, you are very fortunate. Please know from me that those who are very wise and highly elevated try to please me in all different modes of mellows, for I am the only person who can fulfill all the desires of everyone. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The words dhira sarva bhavena do not mean in whichever way you like. Right? Just like it's some people joke, right, instead of Bhagavad Gita as it is, some people like to say it's Bhagavad Gita as you like. So this is here Srila Prabhupada is saying it doesn't mean in whatever way you like. Rather, it's indicating of all different modes of mellows. Then Prabhupada describes bhava. Bhava is a preliminary condition of love of Godhead. Ata shaktis tato bhavas tata premad bhudan chati sadakanam ayam prena pradur bhave pavet krama. The bhava stage is the final division before one reaches love of Godhead. The word sarvabhava means that one can love the Supreme Personality of Godhead in different transcendental modes of mellows, beginning with dasya, sakya, vatsalya, and madhurya. In the shanta stage, one is on the border of loving service to the Lord. Pure love of Godhead begins from dasya and develops to sakya, vatsalya, and then madhurya. Still, in any of these five mellows, one can render loving service to the Supreme Lord. Since our main business is to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can render service from any of the above-mentioned platforms of love. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Panchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Giradhar Srivasari Ghor Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Obviously, Omkar Prabhu asked me to give this class because he recognized that I was on the stage of Bhava. We're going to talk about a few things in this class. First, we're going to talk about Bhava's relationship to sadhana, because that's what we're all practicing, right? We're all practicing sadhana bhakti. Then we're going to talk a little bit about what Bhava is, the symptoms of Bhava, how to achieve it, and then after we're kind of sufficiently depressed by how difficult it is to achieve, how to remain encouraged and enlivened despite the seemingly difficult challenge of attaining that which is actually our goal of sadhana. So in Bhava is explained specifically in chapters 17 and 18 of the Nectar of Devotion. But before that, in the second chapter, if you're a Nectar of Devotion scholar, you'll remember that the second chapter is the beginning of sadhana bhakti, and Rupa Goswami is discussing what sadhana bhakti is. And he says this very important verse, which is also quoted in the Madhya Lila. I'll just say the first two lines. Kritya sadhya, bhavet sadhya, and then bhava sa sadhanadibi. So the translation is, when transcendental devotional service, by which love of Krishna is attained, that's translation, love of Krishna is bhava here, okay? Because it's bhava is the beginning stage of prema. It's sometimes called prema ankur, or the seed of prema. Is executed, but when transcendental devotional service by which bhava is attained is executed with the senses, it is called sadhana bhakti, or the regulated discharge of devotional service. Such devotional service eternally exists within the heart of every living entity, and the awakening of this eternal devotion is the potentiality of devotional service and practice. So the goal, you know, why we wake up in the morning and why we come to Mangala Arati and go to the Bhagavatam class and chant our rounds, that, you know, according to Rupa Goswami, that goal that we should be like, you know, kind of hopefully meditating on a little bit, is to attain bhava bhakti. That's what Rupa Goswami says very clearly in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Prabhupada's Nectar Devotion. So that's the relationship between sadhana and bhava, okay? Then what is bhava? Okay, then there's a verse, this is from the 17th chapter, it's also mentioned in the Madhya Lila, chapter 23, a 17th chapter in Nectar Devotion, where it says, it explains what bhava is. It says, Suda Sattva Visheshatma Prema Suryam Su Samyabhak. Okay, so, and then it goes on to say, Ruchi Bis Chitta Mashrinya krid aso bhava uchite. So when devotional service is situated on the transcendental platform of pure goodness, so that's Suddha Sattva. So this Suddha Sattva is not material goodness, it's transcendental kind. So when we are on that level of pure goodness, it is like a ray of the sunlight of love of Krishna. So it's the beginning. Bhava is the beginning of prema. Okay? And then there's two other symptoms. At such time, devotional service does two things. It softens the heart. So these are the things we have to look forward to when we get there. It softens the heart, and we experience various tastes. The Sanskrit is ruchi bis, right? Ruchi. We get all these tastes. So, and then how to get, basically, Rupa Goswami is saying, and Prabhupada's translating, that we have to be really eager to serve the Lord. And when, by eagerness of service, just like Rupa Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's that pastime where Lord Chaitanya asks all of his associates to bless Rupa Goswami, right? And it says that he got the blessings, Rupa Goswami got the blessings, Prabhupada writes, because he was always eager to serve. He was always eager to serve. And then all those other companions, devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, gave Rupa Goswami their blessings. And then he could understand. That's why we say that prayer, right? Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam. He could understand the mind, the heart of Lord Chaitanya. So when we're always eager, then, by the mercy of pure devotee, Suddha Sattva descends into our heart. Okay? And if you want to get even more technical, Suddha Sattva is comprised of two things, the Samvit and the Ladini Shaktis of the Lord. Right? Okay, so the existence potency, the knowledge giving potency and the devotional potency, they descend into the heart when we attain bhava. So that descending point is important this is going to be actually the main point of the talk in a few minutes. But we don't force it to descend. We don't say, hey, look, you know, I've been chanting my rounds for 40 years now, and, you know, it's about time. I think it's on schedule. Bhava Bhakti is supposed to appear at such and such. You know, the Lord's mercy in the form of the Suddha Sattva comes when Krishna wants it to. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes. When a pure devotee gives us their blessings. So then what are the symptoms? Because, you know, actually Rupa Goswami writes about this, so does Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that, you know, you can fake, I'm a good example of it, you can fake it sometimes, and we even see, especially, I haven't seen personally, but heard about it, especially in Bengal, and you hear in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings about the upper sampradayas, and even I've heard devotees say that sometimes people will put like a chili in the nose to make you cry, right? And then you can roll on the ground, and so you can fake certain symptoms, right? Hair standing on, I don't know if it's easy to fake hair standing on end, but tears and rolling on the ground is pretty easy to fake, you know, if you're in good shape. So it's very significant that in the next chapter, in chapter 18, Srila Rupa Goswami describes the symptoms of bhava that are really practical, I mean, relatively at least, practical symptoms. They're observable, and you can't fake them, basically. You know, so Rupa Goswami is such a brilliant writer, you know, and so he comes up with nine, he doesn't come up with nine, he, you know, understands that there's nine symptoms. So we'll just go over those briefly. Avyartha kalatvam. What does that mean? Don't wasting time. Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. Yeah, don't waste time, right? Or in the positive, utilizing all your time in Krishna's service. It's hard to fake that. Right? It's hard to fake. You can do it while everyone's watching for a little while. You can get away with it, but it's actually quite hard to fake. Shanti, perseverance. Right? Remaining tolerant and patient even when there's great disturbance. Virakti, detachment. That means virakti is different than vairagya, by the way. Vairagya is kind of, you know, when you avoid the sense objects. Mm-hmm. Viraktir is indifference to them. Right? You've attained a level where you're just like, you know, you see someone engage. You probably have all experienced this, right? When we're in good consciousness and we see someone engaged in sense gratification, we look at them and we say, you know, why would they want to do something like that? Right? We're not in good consciousness. We might think, oh, geez, is that what I gave up? You know, but so viraktir is kind of indifference. It just doesn't. It's like I remember when I used to ride. When I moved to India at first, I didn't know any Hindi at all, and we would always travel second class, where everyone basically speaks Hindi. And so people were speaking Hindi all around me for the whole trip, let's say, from Mathura to Bombay, at that time Bombay. But it just didn't make sense to me. It was just like white noise, right? Because I couldn't understand anything they were saying. So similarly, for someone who's experienced viraktir, sense gratification just doesn't make any sense. Why would you want to do something like that? Number four is mana sunyata. Pridelessness. So one feels humble even if one's extremely elevated. Okay? Because this is a level, these are symptoms of bhava bhakti. It's ashabanda. What does that mean? Anyone know? Hope against hope. Right? It's that firm faith that Krishna will deliver one even though we feel low and unqualified. Okay? Then there's samudkanta. Intense eagerness for achieving pure to loving service. Here's a tough one to imitate. Nama gane sada ruchi. Always chanting Hare Krishna with great taste. Right? I heard someone go, yeah. Ashaktis tad gunad yane. That's addiction to glorifying Krishna's qualities. And the final one. Pratis tad vishate stale. Love for living in the Lord's dham. Okay? So, jaya shri Vrindavan dham ki, shri Mayapur dham ki, shri Nudwarka dham ki. Okay. And I, for my wife's pleasure, shri Hastinapur dham ki. We live in Washington. Okay. So how to achieve it? It's such a glorious thing, and it's actually the goal of our sadhana to achieve bhava, right? Rupa Goswami established that. So then how to achieve it? In the 17th chapter of Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada, translating Rupa Goswami, says that there's basically two ways. One is through sadhana bhakti, you know, just in, you know, really strong practice, and one is through mercy. Now, we have to understand this properly, because basically the mercy one is considered rare. And the example that Srila Prabhupada gives, anyone remember the example he gives? Getting what? Yes, getting an honorary degree. Right, getting an honorary degree. So it's not, if you just sit around and wait for an honorary degree, it's probably not going to happen, right? Unless you know, at least in India, if you give a bribe, you might get it. So it is generally through sadhana, in either Vaidhi sadhana or Raganuga sadhana bhakti. But just because it's through sadhana, it's not automatic at all. Because remember, we said that it descends through mercy, right? It's the samvit and ladini shaktis. What actually happens is, as we perform sadhana bhakti, our heart becomes purified. And through the purification of the heart, the a longing for Krishna's service starts to develop. It's that longing that attracts a pure devotee and Krishna's mercy in order to bestow upon us bhava bhakti. So, if we apply that to our day-to-day lives, right, we might start thinking, I really have to be careful not to do my sadhana mechanically. Right, just like punching the clock, right? Get up, go to the Mangal Arati, get the 16 rounds done, take prasadam, you know, and I, you know, just, it's, it's not going to get us at least as quickly to bhava bhakti. But the more we perform our, you know, devotion, our sadhana with a heart, and a yearning for Krishna's service, the quicker we'll make advancement. Okay? Now, that brought up in my mind this verse, this purport, which when I first read it as a new devotee, it scared me a lot, actually. It actually disturbed my mind for days. So I hope I'm not disturbing anyone's mind. This is from the sixth chapter of the first canto. And Srila Prabhupada writes that the transcendental system of devotional service is also free. It may or may not develop in a particular person, even after he undergoes all the detailed formulas. So it's not the formulas alone. Okay? Similarly, the association of the devotee is also free. One may be fortunate to have it, or one may not have it even after thousands of endeavors. Therefore, in all spheres of devotional service, freedom is the pivot. Without freedom, there is no execution of devotional service. The freedom surrendered to the Lord does not mean that the devotee becomes dependent in every respect. To surrender unto the Lord through the transparent medium of the spiritual master is to attain complete freedom of life. So, should we worry? Right? Because we just read that, you know, you can try for it after, you may not get it after thousands of endeavors, and Krishna may or may not give his mercy to us. Huh? So, okay. So that, we'll get to that in a second also. This also ties in with something that I've been thinking about in terms of Prabhupada's statements about, let's call it promise and price. Okay, and this is actually something that any real bona fide teacher in any bona fide religious tradition deals with, this seeming dichotomy, right? And that is that there's a price to pay for making advancement, right? Even when Sovasprabhu was reading yesterday Srila Prabhupada's letter from the BTG about Jayananda Prabhu, right? We all know that Prabhupada, you know, ultimately his decision was Jayananda Prabhu went back to Godhead. But when he was making the general statement in Back to Godhead, Prabhupada said that, if you were remembering Krishna, you were promoted to the eternal association of Krishna. If not, if you had any tinge of material desire, you have gone to the celestial kingdom to live with the demigods for many thousands of years and enjoy the most opulent life of material existence. So he says, Prabhupada's making the general principle here, not just talking about Jayananda Prabhu, who he said went back to Godhead, but that if we have any tinge, right? And we all, I don't know where it's from, maybe someone in the room does, but we hear that Srila Prabhupada said if you're attached to one ladu, right, in the material world, you may have to come back. So there are times when the pure devotee will preach, you know, the challenges of practicing pure devotional service, right? It's sudurlabha, Rupa Goswami says. It's rarely achieved, right? But then there's also the promise. That's the price. The promise is, how many times in Srila Prabhupada's letters did he say, if you chant 16 rounds, if you follow the four regulative principles, you go back to Godhead in this very life, right? It's not dozens, it's probably hundreds. I haven't counted it, but it's just so many words of encouragement, right? If you may, at the time of death, forget Lord Chaitanya. I think I heard Rameshwar Prabhu quote Prabhupada saying this. Maybe it was someone else, but that even if you forget Lord Chaitanya, if you've served him throughout your life, he'll force himself into your mind at the time of death. So this balance, it's a challenge, actually, even as preachers, right? How much to, the kind of encouraging, merciful side, and how much, you know, the challenge. And both are needed. Both are needed. If it's just patting people on the back all the time, they might just kind of cruise, right? And if it's only challenging, they might, This is a little too much. So how to reconcile this? Enter Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I think this is the point that kind of reconciles that purport in chapter 6 of the first canto. We're dealing with a person. We're dealing with the person of, he's a person. We don't get mercy from Brahman. That's why it's such a challenge. What is that verse? Klesho dikatarastesham, right in the 12th chapter, 5th verse. It's hard to become a spiritualist in the impersonal school, because who's giving you mercy? There's no mercy. You don't get mercy from Brahman. It's not a person. So we're dealing with a person, Krishna. He says, if you become conscious of me, in the 18th chapter, you will pass over all obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act out of false ego, not hearing me, you'll be lost. So there was both the price and the promise, right? Here's the promise. If you become conscious of me, no problem. If you don't, big problem, right? So one nice meditation on Krishna is that he has these two qualities. He has so many qualities, right? He has 64 qualities in Nectar of Devotion. One nice meditation mentioned by some of our acharyas is that Krishna is to meditate that Krishna is all-powerful and he's bhakta-vatsal. He loves his devotees. So if he was just one of those, if he was just all-powerful but didn't have a lot of love, there could be problems. Right? If he had a bad hair day or something, problems can happen. Or if someone has all love but is not all powerful, that's nice, but they can't really help us. Right? But if Krishna has both of these, he loves his devotees, and he's all powerful. So we look at it, I'm sure most of us, we look in our own hearts and we think, oh, you know, my God. Okay, maybe I plucked out, two anartas and there's 50,000 left. What's the hope? So this meditation that Krishna is so powerful, he can even purify our hearts, right? A nice thing Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj said in a class some time ago, and it relates to this point about Bhava Bhakti. He was saying that as we get towards the end of Anarcha Nivritti and go to Nishta, which those last stages, they go quickly. He was saying, because we were thinking, Anarcha Nivritti, I'm up to whatever we are, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 45 years of devotional service, and we're still thinking, if this is going to take long for this stage, what about all these other ones that are coming after this? Oh my God. Right? So, Krishna helps us. And then I was thinking about this verse. Often when we read the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we concentrate on 1865 and 1866, right? 1865 is Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyajimam, right? To always think of Krishna. And then Sarvadharmam Pratyagya. We sometimes pass by a little too quickly, I'd say, the previous verse. This is a very, very, very significant verse, 64. If we look at this, I think it gives us a real hint into our hope to attain Bhava Bhakti one day. Okay, he says, Sarva Guyat Tama. So he says, Krishna is saying, this is the most confidential. Previously in the last few verses, he explained confidential, more confidential. Now he's saying, most confidential. Right? Then he says, Shunu Me Paramambacha. He's saying it's the supreme secret. It's the supreme secret. And then he says, this is the key. He says, Ishtosi. Basically, you could translate that, I love you. Right? Prabhupada translates it, you are dear to me. So he says, Ishtosi me tridham iti. You are so much loved by me. We are so much loved by Krishna. And that is how we're going to attain these stages that seem so difficult to attain. That Krishna, as Srila Prabhupada, I don't know if it was 100, was it 1,000? How many steps did he say if you take one step towards Krishna? Anyone? 10? Do I hear, is this like an auction? Do I hear 100? Do I hear, 1,000? It was a lot, right? Maybe he said different things at different times. But this is because of this, because Krishna actually loves. Oh, thank you. There you go. There's the And so Archita Prabhu said, okay, so you're going to mention something about at least, you know, Madhavendra Puri or Radha Raman. So if we think about the pastime of Madhavendra Puri, or if we think about how Radha Raman appeared to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, these are just two examples of 1864. Right? They're just two examples of istosi me didhammiti. That you are very dear to me, or another way to say it, you are so much loved by me. So this should be encouraging. This would be so encouraging if we meditate on this one line of the Bhagavad Gita. That despite all the stupidity we sometimes perform and all the stuff we've done for so many lifetimes, you know, Krishna hasn't left us, but rather he's saying in the Bhagavad Gita, not just to Arjuna, but to all living entities, from now on, you are so much loved by me. And so that person who so much loves us is also aham savasya prabhavo matasavam bhavartati. He's also all powerful. Everything emanates from me. He's the greatest friend of every living entity, 529. So this is encouraging. And then, and if we look on the altar, we have Radha and Krishna here. So what is Krishna doing? That's a dumb question, I know, but make sure you're awake. What is Krishna doing right now? He's playing the flute. Why does, in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, why does Krishna play the flute? He calls the gopis. The gopis right there. He doesn't have to play the flute, right? Because Radharani and Rukmini, she's right there. So Krishna's playing the flute to call us. The deity of Radha and Krishna, Radharani's right there, no need to play the flute. Krishna is calling us to eternally serve him and take advantage of itosi me dridhamiti, that we are so much loved by him. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu. I know, too many things. Yeah, could you use the mic? I can't hear you so well.
Also, you touched on many topics, but I wanted to see the important ones in the fourth chapter of Gita, which says, Tat pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadanshanti. Rendering submissively service to your spiritual master.
Yes.
Do you think, or what seemingly what is feel, if you are submissively also serving your spiritual master or trying to serve, will that awaken from bhava stage to the prema stage? Because some things, you know, you do not know, they are going to come as a side effect. But do you feel that is one process, if you submissively render service to your spiritual master with the whole heart, will that bring you to the next stage?
Well, you could say, in one sense, the oil that greases the whole path from adoshradha to prema is all based on service to devotees and to the spiritual master. That's the whole, and if I didn't emphasize enough, it's my bad, because the point even in Bhava Bhakti is that the Samvit and Ladini Shakti descend by the mercy of the pure devotee. So it's all based on getting the blessings of Krishna's devotees. Now, you know, it's not that Krishna is over there and the pure devotee is over there and it's like, well, we serve him and then we go over here somehow. You know, it's all in a line, right? Our whole discipline, you know, one visual that may help is that, you know, there's Radha and Krishna and the whole disciplic succession, we're seeing Rukmini and Dwarkadish through the blessings of the entire disciplic succession. And actually, it different than if you play, what do you call it here, Chinese Whispers or Telephone, right? You know that game that, you know, you start, the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plane and it goes around to 30 people and all of a sudden it's something totally different, you know, when is lunch, you know. that's not what happens in the disciplic succession. Actually, each member of the disciplic succession bring Radha and Krishna, Gornitai, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra into more focus. So there's that connection. It's not two different things. We're serving Krishna when we serve the spiritual master. we're serving the spiritual master when we serve Krishna, his order. Is that all right? And as far as bhava leading to prema, it's pretty much happens. It goes on, you know, pretty much automatically. There was another hand. Suvasu.
In the purport, Prabhupada states, in whichever way you like. Mm. So we've been discussing about achieving this particular position of bhava, and you were speaking a lot about service, and now you were saying service to the devotee. So I think this is applicable in whichever way you like. So how do we determine if we're, you know, like doing something just because we like, or because we're trying to serve the devotees or the spiritual master? How do we distinguish? How do we make that distinction?
Well, you told me to say that everyone should just do whatever the temple president says. Oh, I forgot. I wasn't supposed to say that. No.
Say that again.
As we know, of course, here, right, what you're quoting, Srila Prabhupada is saying, is obviously on a very elevated level, right? It's, you know, where we have a certain attraction for, you know, a certain, let's say, in terms of Vrindavan, there, as we make advancement and we hear about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, a devotee on elevated stages of devotion naturally starts getting attracted to one of the particular servants in Krishna's pastimes and tries to become a anuga, a follower of that kind of servant. That's on a very elevated level. In a practical sense, we follow the instructions of the spiritual master, and in the very practical sense, you know, we're members of an organization. An organization at least tries to be organized. I know we all have the joke that, you know, somebody, we try to sell somebody a book, they say, I don't like organized religion, and we say, oh, great, you know, you really like us, right? We're not organized at all. But, so, you know, for practical running of any organization, I work right now a lot with the federal government in D.C. If you think if we have any thought that ISKCON has this, like, heavy hierarchy, and you forget about it. There's so much freedom here. There's such a pecking order in the in many organizations, but the federal government is maha pecking order. And you know, you just do what you're told, and that's it. And even if you're, anyway, I won't get into the federal government. That ties in also with, you know, this whole concept, which again we're going to figure out Varnashram in the next 10 seconds. But the basic thing is that everyone has a God-given ability to use in Krishna's service, right? Whatever it is, whether it's selling books or whether it's cleaning the floor, or whether it's running a business or whether it's management or whatever it is, you know, Krishna gives every human being some God-given abilities that they can use in his service. And generally what we're good at, what we like to do, we're good at. And what we're good at, generally speaking, is what we should be offering to Krishna. We want to offer Krishna the best. Right? Of course, if we're living in the ashram, that means, of course, working that out with the temple authorities and all that. But that's just a principle. It's not just what we like, but the idea is to, that's the whole point of, what's that verse? Yet karosi, yet asnasi, yet jihosi, didasi yet. Right? That we're going to do some things, offer them to Krishna. So we do what we may like to do, but we purify what we like to do by offering that to the Supreme Lord. Does that help at all? Lakshmi Moni is going to actually give the right purport. Is that what you're commenting, right? You're not commenting? Yeah.
I was just thinking about Bhagavad Gita because at first Krishna, Arjuna, the Bhagavad Gita begins and proceeds because Krishna had a different idea of what Arjuna should do than Arjuna had, and Arjuna wanted to do what he liked, and what he liked wasn't fight. So he decided he wasn't going to fight. And then Krishna decided, okay, well, I want you to fight, so I'm going to convince you. And he spent 16 chapters or whatever, 16 and a half, convincing Arjuna to fight. But at the end of the conversation, he said, are you convinced? Did you hear it? Did you get it? Are you convinced? And he even says, you can do what you want. You know, I told you now, but you can do what you want. But if you do this, then there's this reaction. And if you do this, there's that reaction. But Arjuna's response was, now I understand everything, and now I'll follow your order. Mm-hmm. So to some extent, we have to come to the point where what we like is what pleases Srila Prabhupada, what pleases Krishna. And what pleases Krishna and what pleases Srila Prabhupada is pushing on this organization is so many things, we know. So working in concert, Srila Prabhupada so many times says, if you cooperate, your love for me will be shown by the way you cooperate. Mm-hmm. And there's a pecking order. I read that letter. Prabhupada was writing the president of India in 1956. And he says to him, you're the king, you're in charge, and that's because Krishna put you in charge. So therefore, I have to approach you because Krishna put you in charge. So Krishna put you in charge, or Krishna put whoever in charge, and if we want to serve Krishna, we serve Krishna through that, and we have to make our desire. We have to come to the understanding that our desire has to be right in concert with that.
And that's actually the difference between, which I forget the numbers, but Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, it's 26, right? Where Krishna says, this is what I want you to do. Offer me a leaf, a flower, you know, it's, you know, this is devotion. The verse before that, after that, Yat Karosi Yat Asnasi, that is saying, okay, so you're going to do what you're going to do, offer it to me. It's more explaining karma yoga. The acharyas talk about that. And Prabhupada also talks about it in a purport. Not in those Gita purports, but elsewhere. But 26 is, this is what I want you to do, do it. And then Krishna mentions bhakti twice in that verse, right? Yome Bhakti, yeah, he mentions bhakti twice. So that's also another way to look at it. That, okay, karma yoga is not that. You know, you do what you're going to do and then offer that as an offering to Krishna. But higher than that is you get the order from above and you follow it. In one place, Prabhupada talks about it like in a military camp. Right? You get the instruction, you go, yes, sir. Akshita Prabhu, do you have a mic?
Yes. Prabhupada explained, gave an answer to this question very practically right here in this garden back in the 70s.
Oh.
He said, if you're massaging Krishna's left leg, and then Krishna indicates that he wants you to massage his right leg, but if you remain attached to, you know, massaging the left leg, he said, that's nice, but it's not the best service.
Uh-huh.
So if you, it ties in with what you're saying about God is a person, Krishna is a person. So he may indicate from time to time that he wants you to do something that you don't normally do, like Yudhishthira Maharaj and lying. Yudhishthira didn't normally lie, but Krishna wanted him to lie and say that, you know, Jonacharya was dead. So
nice.
In other words, you have to be in tune. It's just like relationships. We know if you're in a relationship with a person, you have to be in tune. You can't just tune out and be mechanical. You have to be in tune. So if we're really in tune with Krishna, and how do we tune into Krishna? Through a guru. You can't go directly. Prabhupada say all that many times. Don't jump over. Don't think you can go directly to Krishna. You have to go through me. Even when reading, that devotee said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, my favorite author is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Prabhupada said, no, your favorite author is me. You can't jump over Prabhupada. So, you know, that's how you tune into what Krishna wants, is by using the Prabhupada tuner.
Nice. Is that the end, right?
Yes, it's cool.
Okay. You're okay with that? We can take prasadam now in peace? All right. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.